Good afternoon. I will now call this meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 1:31 p.m. on Tuesday, April 4th, 2023. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business today. Present is Vice Chair Wilson and Senator Jesse Keel. We have Senator Rob Myers is out on excused absence, and perhaps Senator Luki Tovin will be here shortly. Our staffing the committee today is our LIO moderator, Kelsey Riker, also Carrie Cooper-Rider from Records, and my Transportation Committee aide, Emma Torkelson. Emma, thank you for all the bulldogging you do to pull these committee meetings together. So please, if you would, silence your cell phones, and no funny jokes on that for today. So for today's agenda, we'll be taking up the governor's appointee to the Board of Marine Pilots, Edward Sinclair. I'd like to welcome Mr. Sinclair to the committee. He's been appointed to the Board of Marine Pilots. Alaska Statute 8.62 establishes the Board of Marine Pilots and their duties. This board adopts regulations to carry out its mission to provide efficient and competent pilotage service for the protection of shipping, the safety of human life and property, and the protection of the marine environment. It makes final licensing decisions and takes disciplinary action against people who violate the licensing laws. The board meets three times a year and offers a public comment period at each meeting. Mr. Sinclair was originally appointed to the board on March 1, 2019, and was reappointed March 10, 2023. If confirmed again, his term would expire March 1, 2027. Mr. Sinclair, please place yourself on the record. Give us an introduction about your personal professional background and why you're interested in, again, serving on the Board of Marine Pilots.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senators. Edward Sinclair, 2430 Douglas Highway, Juneau, Alaska is my address. I served 20 years in the Coast Guard, retired in 2002, and began the pilot training program, a four-year apprenticeship. And then in 2006, I received my first license, so I'll be starting my 17th year. This 2023 is my 17th year of piloting. I've served on the board of SEPA, Southeast Alaska Pilots Association, for many years, and also as their president for 2 years. And then after serving as president, I moved over to the Board of Marine Pilots and sought that appointment. I'd like to continue another four-year term, if possible. I think in the last 4 years, the board made quite a few improvements in regulations, whether it be for pilot training, keeping the professionalism up and current. And also we had a project that was very rewarding, I think, and we rewrote some of the regulations regarding the foreign pleasure craft, the yachts that come to visit Alaska, bringing those requirements better in line with international law, making it easier for yachts to accomplish receiving their waivers for pilotage. That was a good one. And then also the COVID issue was we felt that pretty hard in piloting. Not just in the commerce being down, but we had regulations that need to be reworked to accommodate the lack of traffic, vessel traffic, so that we could renew our licenses. The license renewal, of course, is every 2 years, and it was coming on the heels of the beginning of shipping coming back, and pilots were faced with not being able to be licensed because we didn't have the requisite number of piloting days. And so with the board and the associations, we worked through that issue to come up with alternative requirements so that we could be reissued our licenses and meet the traffic demands. But I'd like to continue those types of projects and work with the board and Marine Pilots for the next 4 years. Thank you.
I want to thank you. That was a good list of priorities, I would say, that sound quite relevant to the challenges that we faced. So. Does anyone on the committee have any questions? Senator Keel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sinclair, thank you for your service. I don't just mean in the Coast Guard, I also mean your hazardous duty work. Being the chair of a elementary school parent association can be brutal.
Yes, thank you.
But I also, the question I had had to do with some of the, you mentioned, I think, foreign pleasure craft. any number of yachts of, and I don't use the technical terms, so forgive me if I misapply something. Any number of yachts of various sizes come up in the summer, and historically, there's been some difficulty in terms of making sure everybody understands who is required to have a pilot and who is not. What is your sense of that situation today in Southeast Waters when it comes to that summertime slew of vessels? Is that relatively clear and stable? Do we have a lot of avoidance going on?
Yes, the chair. Yes, Senator. I think I would like to say years ago it was worse than it is now. I think that the yachting industry is much more aware of the requirements before they come to Alaska. That's not something the pilot associations do directly to get that information out, but it's through, I would say, mostly through the shipping agents throughout the state. They're the ones that are, the foreign pleasure craft are required to have an agent, and so the agents are then required to provide the information to the vessels on entry and their operation in the state. The Marine Pilot Coordinator, the state employee that works for the board, supports the board, is charged with reviewing all these applications, working with the agents, and also the foreign pleasure craft. And so I think that whole system has improved. I don't believe there's been any specific outreach made to the yachting industry, but I think it's just maybe more awareness on the agents that's come from the board through the Marine Pilot Coordinator, so that whenever there is an inquiry about, you know, where do we dock a 300-foot yacht, that's maybe the way that a lot of these conversations begin through the agent and the yachts. And so it has improved. I'm sure there are still some yachts that show up thinking that they don't need a pilot or even have to tell the state they're here. That is still a challenge. As a pilot, I'll see those yachts out there, and because I'm on the board, I have a sense of who's made the applications, you know, to enter the state, whether or not they need a pilot or get a waiver. And so I'll challenge them through the Marine Pilot Coordinator, because I don't have all the information always. Some yachts will enter, say, in Kodiak, and they'll show up in Juneau, and I'll have, you know, no information that they've even gone through the system. And so there's a checks and balance, I guess you might say, on the water with the pilots, and then just working through the agents through the Marine Pilot Coordinator. But it has improved, I think. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from the committee? Go ahead.
Thank you again, Mr. Sinclair, for your years of dedication and wanting to reapply to the board. Are there any other areas of the marine pilots or any other issues in Southeast Waters or other piloting issues that the committee should be aware of, or any other areas of, you know, that the board is navigating troubled waters, if any area?
So through the chair, yes, Senator, there are a couple, I guess you might say, not roadblocks, but hurdles. And one has been fairly well addressed, you know, with through the Board of Marine Pilots and pilot associations with Alaska Marine Highway System. The training, pilots in training are required to make several trips to the waterways throughout the state, you know, for their region. And when I went through it, it was fairly inexpensive. We had to buy a ticket to get on board the vessels, the ferries, to get our trips made. But over the years, that's become more difficult, whether it be fewer ferries, different routes. And then, of course, the cost of getting on board a ferry has changed. The whole system of a pilot trainee getting on board a ferry, the prices, became pretty significant. The Board of Marine Pilots stepped in, and we wrote a couple letters to the Alaska Marine Highway System trying to explain the difficulty it was monetarily for trainees and some of the restrictions that were being placed on them. There was communications, not only with the Board of Marine Pilots, but also the associations with Alaska Marine Highways. And as my understanding, that is getting better. It's less expensive now for pilot trainees to get the required trips that they need through the ferry system. That doesn't alleviate the problem with the routes that the ferries have taken off the schedule or limited number of routes, or, you know, times that the ships make those trips. So that's something that, you know, it's on the table with the Boring Marine Pilots. The association seem to be taking a good lead with that and finding ways to get the trainees through the system. So we're not actively working on it anymore through the Boring Marine Pilots, but it's there. And I think that we have a board that's cognizant of the issue and would be ready to step in and, you know, and make the point again with the ferry system that we need their support. These are state licensed pilots. These aren't, you know, we're not running off working for another state. This is, you know, all the state's interests are, you know, on the table here. So that's one thing. The next thing that I think we're going to bring up at our next board meeting later this month is investigations are happening. And so investigations can happen whether there be a marine incident, you know, a pilot, you know, is on board and the vessel runs aground, hits a dock, numerous things that are reportable. And then there's also complaints that are made against pilots or vessels. And so the system in place to investigate these complaints, I'll call them, these incidents, it's a little bit cumbersome because the investigation never comes back to Boring Marine Pilots or has not come back to Boring Marine Pilots unless specific things are achieved in or are met in the investigation. And so when the Boring Marine Pilots gets a report from the investigations branch, all we know is that there was a case. We have no idea what it involved. And my concern is that if there is an issue, an incident that occurs or, you know, complaint is made, how is the Boring Marine Pilots then going to address that globally within the pilot community in the state? And so we're sort of left hanging without knowing what the investigation is about and what should we do about it. And so maybe there's things that are lacking in training. Maybe there's things that are lacking in continuing education. Maybe it's just communications from the regulatory board, you know, the Boring Marine Pilots, and pilots in the pilots organizations. And so these investigations occur, and I know this because as a board member, I get an opportunity to review incident cases and make a determination on the jurisdiction of the case, et cetera, et cetera. And so I know they're out there. I know there's things that pilots should be made aware of based on these incidents, but the board can't get this information from investigations because it's not releasable. And so we are sort of hand-tied in being able to provide feedback to pilots on how to become maybe better pilots or things that they might need to be doing differently. So I'm hoping that we can bring that up with investigations during our next meeting and try to get something back from these investigations that are being filed, being handled, so that we can then give feedback to pilots to, you know, alleviate or eliminate any concerns that may be out there.
Follow up. Okay. All right. Thank you. I would like to note for the record that Senator Tobin arrived at 1:35 p.m. So thank you. So, Ms. Sinclair, what I would get out of that is you really need a feedback loop to share the learnings.
Any lessons learned, we're not able to, you know, figure out what those might be and then share them with pilots or agents or the public.
I think that's a tremendous gap that does need to be filled. I'll just say if you learn of anything that we can do on this committee to help close that loop, we're happy to help.
That'd be great. Thank you.
I'm guessing that the will of the committee would be happy to help close that gap. So I just have a little bit of operational curiosity. So if I come steaming into town with my 300-foot yacht and hike, talk about a high-class problem, I'm wondering where do I park my 300-foot yacht? where I to be so blessed that I come steaming into town with it? I've been here before. I think I know where to park. I guess what would the process of engaging with a marine pilot in that instance, what would happen if I were doing it wrong and if I were doing it right?
Sure. Yeah, well, we would make sure you do it right. That's number one. But you know, the if you're depending on the size of your vessel, a pilot is required to be on board, or you can receive an exemption from pilotage. Even if your yacht is of a size that you're going to require a pilot and you get an exemption, you're going to be required to take a pilot upon entry into the state. And so during that process where I come aboard, you know, say south of Ketchikan, I'm going to bring you to Ketchikan on your first port. And in that process, I'm going to talk to you about your, what your itinerary might be. And yachts have an itinerary, but they change it yesterday and tomorrow. It's always changing. But it gives the pilot a chance to talk with the captain on the yacht about the vessel traffic in the area, special hazards, maybe times when to avoid going into Glacier Bay or Tracy Arm because of ice. And I'm only speaking southeast, but this happens throughout the state. It's, you know, so if you were coming to Kodiak for your first visit, you take a pilot to bring your yacht in there as well. But you can sort of get a lay of the land, you know, what the traffic situation is, answer their questions about local regulations, navigation regulations, and then you bring them into port and call it good. And then after that, if they have the exemption, then they will continue their itinerary on their own without a pilot, with the exception in southeast of a couple of waterways where you need to have a pilot every time you transit the waterway. That'd be Wrangell Narrows or Peril Strait, just because of the difficulty of those waterways.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the committee? So if no other questions, we'll now move on to public testimony on Edward Sinclair's appointment. So is there anyone in the room that would like to give public testimony? And I don't see anyone. So noted. And is there anyone online who would like to testify? Seeing none, public testimony is now closed. So are there any other further questions or comments from the committee members? None noted. And I would say, Mr. Sinclair, don't take this as a personal affront. These hearings are often they often have low attendance. I'm sure you're used to that by now. So seeing that there's no further questions, I want to thank Mr. Sinclair, for your attention to the committee today and for your willingness to serve on the board. Looking at your background and other information, I have to say I'm impressed. I'm thankful that we have people like you that are willing to serve. So we just have some procedural business to take care of. So you're now you're welcome to sign off, or you can stay with us. So please feel free. So in accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Transportation Committee reviewed and recommends the following appointments to be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration: Edward Sinclair to the Board of Marine Pilots. As signature on the report does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation or of the individuals during any further sessions. So we'll now take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. We're now back on the record. Are there any closing comments from committee members? None noted. Well,
just happy to sail away. Happy Easter.
Okay. All right. We have a habit of transportation funds here, Mr. Sinclair.
Those are great. Thank you. Thank you for your time, Senators.
Pleasure. And so seeing no further questions or comments, thank you, committee members, for being here. Thank you to LIO and Records for all the good work that you do every day to make this place run. Next meeting notice: we will not be meeting on Thursday, so our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, April 11th, 2023, at 1:30 p.m. So this meeting is now adjourned at 1:52 p.m.